Keep pressing on. Keep pressing forward. Don't slip back. And in our passage, even more so, we are to excel, but excel still more. Keep growing in your relationship with Christ. We are not there yet. If you think you are mature and you are there, you are woefully mistaken. We are not there yet.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, what's in your message today for us to learn from this portion of Scripture?
Well, Dave, as believers, we're going to see that God has laid out a clear goal for our lives in the context of salvation. And so let's get right to it as we look at chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 1 through 3.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
I love that. Very simple. Matter of fact. I think it's a picture of what God will do with the church when the church pleases Him and takes the church out of the way when we walk with Him. I think that's what's going to happen when He comes. But specifically, Enoch walked with God. But how did he walk with God? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. That's great. Why did he take him up? Middle of verse 5 of Hebrews 11. I'll read this for you. For he obtained a witness or a testimony that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Enoch walked with God and his walk was pleasing. Your walk can be not pleasing or it can be pleasing. And he obtained a testimony from God that his walk was pleasing. But how was it pleasing? Enoch walked by faith. By faith, Enoch was taken up. And the very next verse in Hebrews 11, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you don't personally trust Jesus to do what he says in the context of what he's promised, you don't believe who he is, you can't please God. You believe what God says. You believe his truth, no matter what happens around you. We walk by believing the truth. If he says, surely I will help you, surely I uphold you with my righteous hand, we believe that and we step out in faith. If he says, I never will leave you nor forsake you personally, you know that and you believe that by faith. It pleases God when from your heart of hearts you accept the truth by faith and you walk in that truth. It pleases God. You see, because Jesus Christ is the one who pleases the Father. Matthew 17, verse 5, while Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So when we trust in Jesus, when we abide in Christ and his word in us, we rest in Jesus, a real relationship. We are pleasing to God. When you are tempted, God says he'll provide a way of escape that you may endure it. He's pleased when we trust him and let him guide us through that. He's pleased when by his spirit, by his power, we turn from evil. He's pleased when we confess our sin. When we initially repented, the angels rejoiced in heaven. God is pleased when we trust and believe what he has said as it applies to a real relationship in our walk, everyday walk. He's pleased. We trust him. The reality is we began this walk by faith. You trusted in Jesus Christ. We started by faith. You cannot come to salvation apart from faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot come to salvation. You cannot be saved. You see, concerning salvation, your own works are not pleasing to God. It's an abomination, actually. Only the work that Christ has done is pleasing, and God is pleased when we trust in Christ and we are saved. It is his will, his desire for us to be saved. But if you have not come to faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot please God. Romans 8, verse 8. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God if you have not come to faith in Jesus Christ. But he says, however, to believers, Romans 8, 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So God is not pleased with our actions apart from Christ in us by his spirit functioning through us by faith. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. It's all by faith. Colossians 2 verse 5. We came to faith in Jesus Christ. We walk by faith. If you want to please God, you got to trust God. Not just a simple, I believe, the demons believe the word in general. They shudder, right? But I believe personally in the person of Jesus Christ. And I believe what he says and I rest in him and on what he has said. Colossians chapter 2 verse 5. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, Paul says, rejoicing to see your good discipline and what? The stability of your faith in Christ. You want to make your shepherd rejoice? Trust Jesus and be stable in your faith. Praise the Lord. And notice what he says. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in. How they receive him? By faith. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, we'll see this later on, and overflowing with gratitude. Tremendous reality. We walk by faith, and the way we please God is trusting him. Do you desire to please God? Do you want to please him? Then you need his word rightly understood, the Spirit of God illuminating that in your heart, to work in your heart to cause you to think differently towards him and towards your circumstances and people around you and all that happens. And you got to trust him. Trust him. He's a good God. He's faithful. Faithful is he who calls you and he will bring it to pass. He is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. You can trust him and we are to trust him. So then the Apostle Paul comes back and he shares this with them. Shares this with them. Look at chapter 4 verse 1 back in our passage. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received instruction from us as to how you ought to walk and please God, and notice this statement, just as you actually do walk. What a statement. You guys, you Thessalonians, you are following the Lord just as you do. You received instruction on how you are to do so, how you're to please God. You get instruction. We'll see this later on through the Word of God. He says, just as you do walk. You are walking that way. Remember, these Thessalonians were not doing badly. Paul isn't saying, hey, you're in a rut. You got to get out of that rut and excel still more. They were doing well in the Lord. Remember, he said that he was so thankful for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their steadfastness of hope in the Lord, chapter 1. And he wants them to excel still more. And this is God's desire for us. It is not his desire for you to stagnate in your faith. It is not his desire for you simply to excel. It is his desire for you to excel still more. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Apostle Paul is speaking concerning his all-consuming desire. It's Christ, by the way, and becoming like Christ. He says in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 12, and this is speaking of becoming mature, becoming complete, becoming perfect. Hey, getting there, getting to the goal. He says, not that I have already obtained it or have become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Hey, I press on. He laid hold of me to make me his child, to make me like him, and I press on to be that way. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, and this is great advice for all of us, by the way, it's not advice, and it's Paul's testimony. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Oh, praise the Lord for that. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the direction I'm going. This is what I press for, Paul says. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, or you could say mature in the faith, have this attitude. And if anyone of you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you also. God's going to open your eyes. However, verse 16, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have obtained. Don't go backwards. Don't slip backwards. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing forward. Don't slip back. And in our passage, even more so, we are to excel, but excel still more. Keep growing in your relationship with Christ. We are not there yet. If you think you are mature and you are there, you are woefully mistaken. We are not there yet. Boy, I realize every day how sinful I am and how thoughts can come that are so wrong and how I can yield to things, those thoughts, and speak things that aren't right. God needs to change me. And God is. We're growing. We're all growing, but we're not there yet. So then, he says, excel still more. But how do we do this? How do we excel still more? He gives us the truth here, and we see this. We need to keep learning and acting upon his truth in the context of faith. Verse 1, back in 1 Thessalonians 4. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. Did you see that phrase? That as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God. This is amazing because the Apostle Paul was referring back to the first 3 weeks he was with these believers when they came to faith. He instructed them in the first 3 weeks of their faith how to walk and please God. Right when they first came to faith. It's amazing. And folks, for us as true believers, it is God's desire for us to walk and please God, but he does it through instruction. He instructs us like a father instructing children. We're instructed from the word how we ought to do it, how we ought to please God, how I should please God at work, how I should please God in my prayer life as I communicate with him, how I should please him in interacting with the body of Christ, how I should please him with my family. We have instructions from his word. We have everything pertaining to life and godliness, to the true knowledge of him. This is key. Instruction as to how you ought to walk and please. Just as we gave it to you, you're excelling, but excel even more. Just as we gave it to you. Folks, receiving instruction is key. Now, when I say receiving, I mean it in a certain way. I don't mean sitting in church and hearing a sermon. There are those who hear who don't do. There are those who hear and it does not affect them. I'm talking about receiving instruction. And to receive instruction, there are some prerequisites for us to receive instruction. James chapter 1 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. You got to set aside sin. If you come in here and you are unwilling to set aside sin, attitudes, actions, whatever it is, you're not going to receive the word of God. And we are sinners. We sin so quickly and so easily. And we need to confess it and get right with the Lord and receive his word. What about 1 Peter chapter 2? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, all slander, that's sin, like newborn babes, that's by their new nature, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. Set aside sin and receive instruction. If you've got sin and you're not setting it aside, confessing it, you're not going to be able to receive instruction. You'll become a hypocrite, by the way. You'll get knowledge, but you won't have instruction received in the heart level. Set aside sin, receive instruction. Remember what we saw last week concerning the Colossians example, Colossians chapter 1. Turn there, actually, Colossians chapter 1. We saw this last week. I'm not going to repeat what we went through. You can listen to that, but it really speaks of this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, that's their genuine relationship with Christ, their faith and love, which is manifest, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. We haven't stopped praying that your heart would be overflowing with the true knowledge of his desires, that's his will, in the context of all spiritual wisdom, that's the word of God, and understanding. The Spirit gives understanding. We haven't stopped to pray for that. That's what we need. It is when God gives us spiritual wisdom and understanding through his word, his desires and will are manifest for us, and we are instructed on how to interact and act and walk. And thus please God. It's through instruction. We need to be instructed. Just like a child. Think about it. How often do we instruct our children? All the time. We instruct them until they're mature. And even after that, we instruct them. Right, boys? They know that, right? God gives us his wisdom through his word, and he instructs us on how to walk, how I should treat you if you treat me wrongly, how I should treat you no matter how you treat me, how we should treat each other, how I should think of you, what I should think of the people around me, how I should think of the people at work, how I should walk in my life. All those things. I could give you a million examples. That's why it's so crucial that we are confessing sin continually, renewing our hearts with the Word of God so that he, by his Spirit, can speak to us on a daily basis and lead us and guide us in that which is pleasing. Oh, Lord, help me respond rightly. His word comes to mind. Help me do the right thing. So Paul says, as you have received instruction from us, they received it, by the way. Remember back in 1 Thessalonians 2, turn back there a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father with his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you to his own kingdom and glory. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 to 12. And then notice he praises God for their initial reception and thus their continued reception of the word. Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 2. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it. Not as the word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So then God uses his spirit-empowered word to instruct our hearts concerning his desires for us so that we will walk in a manner worthy and please him. So then we need to be in the word of God, right? We need to confess sin. We need to keep learning, believing, and acting upon his word so that we would grow in respect to salvation. Do you want to stagnate, become a plateau Christian? Let sin get in the way. Let an attitude towards some other brother or whatever it might be get in the way. That'll do it. That's all it takes. Just confess it. But if you don't confess it, you will stop learning. You'll stop obeying in a sense that is in the manner that can please him. You'll be tossed all over the place, never growing. You'll be the same that you were before, and God's disciplinary hand will be on you until you finally realize that you got to confess that sin. Be determined to keep growing in your relationship with Christ. Excel still more. But yet notice, a pleasing life is not a suggestion, actually. We are obligated. Look at our passage again back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord that as you have received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. Notice he's going to explain something. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Now he's going to start to talk about those commandments, and he's going to start with the commandments regarding to purity, and then he's going to talk about love. We're going to see that. That's the flow going through chapter 4. That's what he's going to do. He's going to remind them of those commandments so that they would excel still more. And we need that too. He says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. But if you look at the end of verse 1, notice how he says how you ought to walk. Ought to walk. It's a word in Greek that expresses an absolute compulsion. How you must. We gave you instruction how you must walk and please God. It is a binding obligation. It is a necessity. God says, this is the way it's done. You want to know how to interact at work? God says, here's how it's done. You want to know how to interact in situations with people? Here's how it is. You want to know how to raise your children? Here's how you ought to do it. It's all there. You want to know where your heart should be when you're worried? Here's, it's all there. You want to know how good and gracious and faithful and your God is? It's all there. How you ought to walk and please God. God's word alone reveals how we are obligated to walk and so please God. Now, we don't like that word obligation, but it's totally different because it's from a good God who everything he says for us is for our good. God's word is sufficient for your faith, everything you do. You either believe this or you don't, and your choices will reflect your beliefs. Actually, your choice of church reflects what you believe about Christ and his word. Your choice of what you read day in and day out reflects what you believe about Christ. Your choice of the radio that you listen to reflects what you believe about Christ. God's word alone gives us the instruction on how we ought to walk and please God. But yet notice the explanation, verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of Lord Jesus. And the term know is in perfect tense. You have obtained this knowledge and you still have it now. You know it. What commandments we gave you by the authority of Lord Jesus. He's not speaking of the Ten Commandments. This word translated commandment here actually speaks of a charge or orders that would come from a superior. You know the charge we gave you. This was in the first 3 weeks of their faith. But they're real believers and they can hear it and God will help them. You know the charge. You know the orders we gave you. You know what we gave you. Now, what were the commandments? He's going to start first of all here in regards to impurity, and he's going to go to love. That's the order that he's going to go through. He's going to talk about purity. You know what we gave you. Look at our passage. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of our Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. You know what we told you. Within the first 3 weeks of their faith in Christ, Paul instructed them with the authority of the Lord Jesus, these true believers who had come to faith, that they should abstain from sexual immorality. These were pagans. 3 weeks prior, they were in their pagan lifestyle, which is mixed massively with sexual contact. The idolatry and their paganism like this, and the sexual immorality was like this. And they came to faith, and within those first 3 weeks, Paul says, you know what we commanded you by the authority of the Lord. And here it's to abstain from sexual immorality. Later on, it's going to be loving one another. God indeed teaches us to love one another. These are pagans. Think about it this way. You share Christ to a gay man or a lesbian woman or a perverted person, and they come to faith. They believe the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of their sin. They are saved. They are washed. They are sanctified. They are forgiven. And they're on their way to heaven. And right away, you explain the Lord's commands to them to abstain from the lifestyle they used to be involved in. Right away. And guess what? They learn how to be set apart for God rather than to perverted sexual immorality. They learn it. They want to. They've changed. Now, this doesn't mean that if someone comes to faith, they're not going to be tempted by their lifestyle before. I'm not saying that. But they're going to have a desire to do the right thing. They've been changed. Paul's saying, you know what commands we gave you, specifically about that, which was big in their lives. And they accepted it. They had no problem with that. The reality is you'll certainly be tempted, but it's from a whole different paradigm. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm ashamed of that. I want to follow Jesus. You know what commandments we gave you by the authority of our Lord Jesus. Paul taught them right away what they were to do. And I do hear at times, sanctification is a process. Now I'm saying this facetiously. It is a process, but it's facetiously. We can't tell young believers to stop sinful habits. They're not going to get it yet. Not true. Right away, Paul said, you know what we told you not to do in the Lord. We instructed you that you would walk and please God. We did that. You know the commandments we gave you. First 3 weeks of faith.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Greg's message today is from his series in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, how should we apply this message to our lives today?
Well, Dave, what I wanted to share is that there should be some evidence in our lives that we are growing in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of that evidence is going to be how well we understand what His desire is for us regarding our life and our circumstances and the right attitude that we should have as those circumstances come upon us. Now, that only comes from growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ through understanding His Word. So, brothers and sisters, we're continuing just to scratch the surface on how we can learn how to walk and please God. So join us next time as we continue our look at this incredible passage of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.